theme is becoming a stronger Christian. Just a reminder that this is the burden that is not placed in the heart of in our hearts to reach out to his people, believers, and to energize them, to build them up so that they may be strong and so that they can stand in this age and time we are. And this is going to be running for as long as the Lord wills. And I pray that the Lord will grant us grace to be faithful. In the name of Jesus. So this morning, we just have like an hour, 30 minutes, an hour and some few minutes. We just want to look at a very important aspect in regards to becoming a stronger Christian. When we say becoming a stronger Christian, as the thing suggests, there's one thing we must put into consideration, and that is what we want to look into today. And I pray that the Lord will open our eyes and open our spiritual ears in the name of Jesus Christ. So this morning, we want to talk on the believer's authority. Amen. The believer's authority. When we talk about becoming a stronger Christian, one of the things we put into consideration is the authority of a believer. You can't say you are strong when you don't have authority. So the authority of a believer is a very important aspect of a believer's life that we need to take consideration, that we need to look into in regards to becoming the stronger Christian the Lord wants us to become. And we're going to see a lot of things very quickly. If we're going to talk about the believer's authority, we can go months. But today we'll just see some few things regards to the believer's authority in the space of the short time we have. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will breathe upon the word in the name of Jesus. So when we talk about spiritual authority, believer's authority, it's also a spiritual authority. The believer's authority is one of the possessions that we have as believers. You know, it is one of the all things that the Lord has placed for us. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, it says, according to his divine power, has he given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. The all things, the believer authority is among those all things that the Lord has given unto us. And it is necessary as believers that we know our authority in Christ Jesus. One of the things that will make us a successful soldier in this warfare, in this battle of today, is knowing our authority. Look, there's a battle going on, and it is the battle of the heart. You know, the Lord is changing the heart of the people towards himself, to walk after righteousness, to walk after his pattern, so that his blessings upon his life, upon their life, might be made manifest. While the devil at the other hand is waging war, so that the people's hearts are turned away from God. And one thing we need to know as believers is that it is who we give consent to that is the one who has, you know, an authority over us. And to be on the winning side in this battle, to be on the winning side in this warfare that is going on, the believer has to recognize, has to know, has need the understanding of the authority he or she has in Christ Jesus. So the Lord will be showing us today what authority, what the believer's authority means, the source of this authority, and what are those things that God has given us authority over. The believer's authority. Now, what is authority? What is this authority that God has given unto us? The authority that God has given unto us, I will call it a delegated power. But the value of that power depends on the force behind the user. I will say that again. The believer's authority is a delegated power. But the value, the effectiveness of that power, of that authority, is based on the force behind the user. Now, let's just take a simple analogy. As I'm standing right now, if I go outside and I stand in on an intersection, you know, where the traffic is, and I raise up my hand, at first, the drivers, riders, people in their vehicles, they will stop and, you know, look at what's going on. But by the time they assess me and they see that, okay, this is just an ordinary immigrant, you know. There's nothing. They look at me from head to toe and they just scan me through and they see, well, this guy has no power to, he has no authority to stop me. They will drive back. And the one who is very, very razz among them might just eat me with the car. But now, let's change the scenario. Let's take, for example, they gave me a police car and then gave me a police uniform. At first, I was just with my ordinary clothes. And I was given a police uniform. And the car, they wrote Winnipeg Police, or they wrote RCMP. And I go back to that intersection, and I raise up my hand. What will happen? They will wait. You dare not pass. Nobody wants to enter the criminal record of a policeman. Now, that's the difference. At first, at an instant, I had an authority. But when the people looked at me, they saw that, okay, where's the source? What's backing does this guy has to raise up his hand so that I will stop? But when they looked at me and they saw that this guy has no backing, he has no force behind, they zoom past me. But when the force behind changed, now the Winnipeg Police is the force behind. When it changed and I was given a uniform, I was given the car, and people can see it clearly, they had to stop. And that is why I said authority is a delegated power. But the effectiveness of the authority is based on the force behind the user. Let me give us another analogy. If I meet the Prime Minister today and he gives me his card and signs on it and says, look, take this card, anything you want, go into any place, anything you want, just take it. They will, you know, they will, you are free to have, you have access to all things, any mall, anywhere in Canada. So if I bring that card with his signature on it and I go to, let's say, a Dodge automobile shop, and I said, give me a 2020 Dodge Charger and modify it, and they do everything, they brought it to my desk. I said, hey, this is what I want, and they say, where's the payment? And I show them the card with the Prime Minister's signature. They have no rights to decline me of whatever I've purchased, because there's a backing, there's a force, a powerful force behind. If I take that same card and go to the grocery, if I buy groceries of $1,500, they have no right to decline me of whatever I've purchased because of the force behind this, the authority I'm taking. And the same thing applies to believer. Once a believer recognizes the authority he has and the force behind him, he will be able to face every opposition without fear and hesitation. Now, the opposition we are facing today, they also have a kind of, you know, force and a backing. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We tell us, for we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. But what? Against principalities. Those are backings. Those are the force behind those authority. Principalities, powers. Against what?
Rulers
of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those things, this one, these principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, you know, with spiritual wickedness, those are backings. They are force behind. But you know the thing, these things listed here, there is a mighty force that is greater than them all. And that force is that which is backing the believer's authority. Amen.
Amen.
And this force, they have no option than to subject themselves to that higher authority. And that is why it is necessary that believers know their authority in God. A scripture will say, I've seen servants ride on horses and princes walk on foot. That is the picture of a believer that does not know his authority. Any prince that is walking on foot, why the servant is riding, number one, is either the prince does not understand that he's a prince. And they have to re-enlighten him that, look, oh, you are a prince. The servant should be the one walking on the ground. You should be the one riding on the horse. So as believers today, majority of the reason why we are not living a life, an overcoming life, because we don't know our authority in God. We don't know our authority in Christ Jesus. And the Lord wants to open our eyes to see this, that we have authority in Him. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. The authority of a believer. God has given us authority. He has given us access. He has given us access to His divine power. And we need to understand that we carry something. 1 John 4:4, we say, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. One thing we need to understand, that the universe, operates on a particular mode of operation. And that is the operation of authority. Each and both heaven and earth, they operate based on authority. Here on earth, we have authorities. Amen? We have authorities as government. We have authorities as parents. Parents are authorities over their children. But each authority is subject to another. And the same in the spiritual atmosphere, in the spiritual realm too. There are authorities. There are authorities here and there. But there's a greater authority. There's a greater power that God has given unto us, and that is the believer's authority, which we have gained in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to see today what is the source of this authority. Where did we get this authority from? Where did it come from? We're going to see from Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 19. Ephesians 1:19. I would like somebody from the congregation to read that for us. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 19.
Ephesians chapter 1 verse
19. 19 to 23.
And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us?
Sorry. Can you start from 17?
17.
Yes, sir.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him.
Amen.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His right hand, His own right hand, in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is.
Amen. From this scripture we read, it shows us the source of the authority that we have. When you look at it, this is a scripture that was painting an event that happened. When Christ died, He said, from verse 9, he said, what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead was a showcase of the authority that God has, was a exhibition of the authority and power that God has. And the first partaker of that that exhibition was our Lord Jesus Christ by raising Him up from the dead. Now, what happened in this aspect? When Christ died, there was an opposition Powers from every corners, powers here and there gathered together to oppose Christ from rising up from the dead. But God, he said, according to the exceeding greatness, God showed them a mighty authority and a greater power by raising up Jesus Christ from the dead, breaking all forms of opposition, breaking all forms of barrier to raise Christ Jesus from the dead, and to do what? To set him at his right hand. That is the belief, that is the source of the believer's authority from God. After Christ was raised up from the dead and set him at his right hand. And now I want us to see something. When this thing happened, when this raising up from the dead happened, it was not only Christ that was raised up from the dead. The believer was also raised up with him. Amen.
Amen.
Very quickly, just look at the chapter 2 of that same Ephesians. Very quickly, we are still on the at this same verse, but just look at the chapter 2, verse 1. He said, "And you at he quickened, who were dead in what? In trespasses and sin." Meaning, when God raised Christ from the dead, when the exhibition of this authority and power happened, we are with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We are raised together with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Christ as the head and his church as his body.
Amen.
So meaning, when you look at, you can take the verse 1 that we read, "You are quickened, we are dead in trespasses and sin." You can put it also in verse 20, slot it in where he said, "Which he wrought in Christ Jesus and his body, the church, when he raised him from the dead, you know, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places." So when Christ was set at the right hand of God, we're also seated with Christ in that heavenly places, at that right hand of God. So meaning the event that took place was just pointing to man, was just pointing towards man, that there is a representative man that has gone through this thing, so that every other one that will follow in Christ Jesus will be the partaker of whatever that man, Christ Jesus, that representative man, you know, whatever he got in that event of raising him from the dead. So that's why you see Romans chapter 8 verse 17 will tell you, you say, if you are children, then you are heirs. He said, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that if we indeed suffer with him, what will happen? That we might be glorified with him. Meaning, when this event happened, you are also included in the plans of God. The believer is included in the plans of God. So you are not left out when Christ was raised from the dead. You are not left out of the picture. You are always in the picture. Because the major reason why he died was because of us. Amen?
Amen?
The major reason why Christ went to the cross was for me and you. And so when a believer comes in contact with the cross, at that point in time, there's an exchange that happened. And the exchange is that an authority has been given to you. Verse 19, he said, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power?" How did we come about this authority? It's simple. He said, towards them that believe. That is how we came across. We didn't need to do anything to inherit this authority. There's nothing, there's no condition, there's no work that we needed to do to say, now we have the authority of God. All what we needed is just to believe. Believe in the Son of God, and you have authority. So he said, just forward, towards us who believe. For, towards us who believe. And that is how we came about this authority that we are speaking about. We are not done. Now, when we look at the chapter 2 and looking at the verses, it's just showing us to just point us further in regards to how we came about this authority. Ephesians 2 verse 6. Let me start from verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Made us to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, meaning Christ and his body are seated at the right hand of God in heavenly places currently. And that is the source of our authority. Now, in looking at the source, where is this authority based? Where is the location of this authority? It shows us in verse 20. He said, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. The right hand of God is the base where the power and the authority dwells. Amen.
Amen.
The right hand of God. When Jesus said in, I think in Matthew, he said, all authority have been given unto me. Or there's a particular place where he said, all authority have been given unto me. The Christ assumed that power in Hebrews. When he said it at that point, he was about to go to the cross. But he was speaking of what is to come. And he assumed that authority, that position, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. If you look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1, what does it say? It says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have sought an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of what? Of the majesty in the heavens. The right hand of God is the source, is the location of where the authority is. That's the point where the authority of God, you know, that is where the authority of God is. That's why Psalm 110 will say, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemy your footstool. Sit at my right hand till I. So after sitting on the right hand, the next thing is what? Is making the enemy, subjecting every other opposite and opposing authority, opposing power to the footstool of the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, in which we are also partaker of. So if we say, if we agree that we are seated with Christ as a body in the heavenly places, in the right hand of God, that means we are also seated on the base of the power and authority of God. If we agree to that. And that is why we need to know what the Lord has done for us. The cross of the death of Christ is not just ordinary. It's not the way we just see it today. It's not the way people just paint it today. There was a great and mighty event that took place, and a lot of things are stocked up in the death and the resurrection of Christ Jesus Christ, of Christ. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places. The right hand of God is the base, is the location of this power, of this backing. That's why you look at Psalm, a lot of places in Psalm. Psalm 20, he talks about the right hand of God. Psalm 98, Psalm 138. Those places talk about the right hand. And after they speak about the right hand of God, there's something, there's a power, there's a deliverance. There's an authority. Psalm 20. Now, know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear what? Him from his holy heavens with the same strength of his right hand. The right hand of God. Psalm 98. Where there is a right hand. Oh, sorry. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right arm and his only arm has gotten him victory. The source of where the authority, the believer's authority is at the right hand of God. And we are seated there.
Amen.
We are seated there. Psalm 138. He said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou will revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall do what? Shall save me. Exodus 15:6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is what? Is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, dashed in pieces the enemy. So the right hand of God is the authority, is the backing we have. That's where we are seated. There's one other verse. You know, when we look at Isaiah, he said, the Lord will uphold me with his right hand of righteousness. A lot of places where the scripture pointed to the right hand of God. And it is necessary. It is important that we know this, that we understand this. So that we will not live as slaves in this earth. So that we will not live as princes who do not know their worth. So that we will not live as people who have been given a lot of things, but they don't understand. They don't know how to make use of what is given unto them. The believer's authority. Our authority is in Christ Jesus. So when Christ was raised up from the dead, we are also raised up with him.
Amen.
He as the head and the church as his body. And he was not only raised up, he was set at the right hand of God in heavenly places. He was seated there. So meaning we are seated with Christ. Can the head go separate from the body? No. So wherever the head is, the body is. So right now, our current position, our current state is being seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we have that authority. We have that power. We have that backing. A superior backing. A superior backing. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Lord will open our eyes of understanding in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It says he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what has God given us authority over? You know, we've been able to see the authority we have as believers. We've been able to see where we got this authority from, where we got this power from, where we got this backing from. We've been able to see the might. We've been able to see the efficacy of this power. We'll be able to see the effectiveness of this power, that no other, you know, authority, no other power, no other thing is superior to this power. Every other authority on earth, in heaven, in anywhere, are subject to this authority we have as believers. So there are a lot of things that the Lord has given us. I can even say God has given us authority over all things. Amen?
Amen.
Just as he has given Christ authority over all things, God has also given us authority over all things. But we'll just pick some specific ones that are important to us at this time that we need to know. And the first thing that the Lord has given us authority over, and he wants us to know, what is... Somebody help me with this scripture that says... As many as are led by the Spirit, that in the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. Thank you. Can we open there? I want us to read. I want somebody to read from the congregation.
have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen.
Being children.
Is that the end?
If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Amen. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they what? They are the sons of God. That means we have the right to claim that we are sons of God. Amen.
Amen.
That's one of the authority that the believer needs to understand. In this world, there are a lot of intimidation. Amen. From the evil one. The devil comes and intimidates us. He comes and tells us lies. He comes and gives us garbage. And a lot of time we fall prey of this intimidation by believing that, I'm just a human being. God can take his hand and destroy me in one second. But we need to understand. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, he gave them power what? To become sons of God. He gave them authority to become sons of God. That means you have the right to go and say, I'm a child of God. We have the right to say, devil, enough of intimidation. I'm a child of God. God has dispossessed, every authority and everything you have. He has given it back unto Christ Jesus. He has made him Lord over all things. And if Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and I'm seated with him as his body, therefore I have authority to claim that I'm a son of God. He says we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Is a son that have the right to claim that particular title. Anyone who does not recognize that is a son does not have the right to say I'm a son. But until you recognize this, that Christ seated in the heavenly place at the right hand of God on high has given us the right to declare and to say I'm the son of God. And so therefore, no devil, nothing can intimidate me. Another thing, let's see Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Matthew 28. He said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is another authority that we have in Christ Jesus. Christ himself said, all power has been given to me. So if Christ says all power has been given to him, and we agree that we are seated with him in heavenly places, do we also have power?
Yes, sir.
And so another authority that God has given unto us is to go into all the nations, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, teach them to observe the will of the Father, teach them to follow after righteousness. It's our authority as believers. Amen?
Amen.
It is our authority as believers. So if you're a believer, you have the right to acquire somebody and say, I want to teach you the ways of God. Amen. You have the right to talk to people and tell them, I want to teach you to observe the things that God has commanded us to observe. Because it's your right and responsibility. It is the authority that God has bestowed upon us. And we need to understand this as believers. A lot of people are under the subjugation of the evil one, and they need rescuing. And we have the right to go and say, we have to rescue you from the hand of the devil. We have the authority. We have the right. Another one, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. God has given us authority over all things, but these ones we are looking at are just key things we need to understand as believers. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly. Anything that gives us that gives us a form of boldness, it means you have an authority. Remember the analogy I gave, that if the prime minister signs on his card and gives it to me, there's a kind of boldness I have, right? I will just take the card and flaunt it like this, and I will go into anywhere. Anything, give me this, give me that, give me that. And so if anybody asks, who has given you the boldness to come into this place and say you want to claim this thing, I'll tell them, can you see? This is the prime minister's signature. And he has told me, go and get anything you want. So the same thing, God has given us authority to come boldly into the throne of grace to obtain mercy. That means condemnation cannot have power over us. Guilt cannot have power over us. The lies of the evil one, the lying tongue, the accuser of the brethren, the devil, cannot have a say over us. If we know this thing, we have boldness to what? To go to the throne of mercy and obtain mercy. We have boldness and confidence to approach God at any day, any time, any minute, any seconds. The Lord is eagerly awaiting us. Nobody is going to question who gave you the right to talk to God. Why? Because we have it. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And he's seated with his church, the body, me and you. He's seated there. And so therefore, just as Christ is able to approach God anytime, we also have the right, we have the authority, we have the privilege to approach God and to obtain mercy from him. It is our authority. So the devil cannot question the authority. He can't subject you by condemning you. He can't bring you down. He can't bow your head down by lying to you and making you guilty. Once this resonates with our mind, we'll be able to understand that, yes, I can approach God. God is willing to hear me at any time. Finally, on what God has given us authority over, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. The authority of a believer. So, we seated here, we have something inside of us. We are carrying something inside of us. Mighty things. Let me start reading from verse 17. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Then verse 19 says, what? Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'll read that again. He said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpent and scorpion, over some of the power of the enemies. No, over one quarter of the power of the enemies. He said, all. Gather all their powers together. You have a power that is greater. All power of the enemy and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is the authority of a believer. Christ, this is Christ himself saying it. Said, I have given you power to tread upon what? Upon scorpions and serpents. And over all. So the classification of the power of the enemy is in scorpion and serpent. Those are the two classifications. And if you can tread upon them as God has given you power over them, that means you can tread upon all the power of the enemy. So God has given us power over demons, over spirits, over things that opposes the manifestation of God's blessing over our lives. God has given us power and authority over them. And it is necessary that we exercise those authority. We exercise this authority, we exercise this power that God has given unto us. I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And it says nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing can hurt us. Nothing can come near us. Because we have a greater power. We have a greater authority. We have an authority backed with a greater force. A force that cannot be quenched, that cannot be conquered. It is this same force that sets things in motion on earth. It is this same force that made things to come alive. It is this same force that placed the art of creation in order. It is this same force that brought forth this same, you know, this same these other powers that we are talking about. It is this same force that has been in existence. It never diminishes. It never loses its power. It never loses its effectiveness. It is as effective as the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And God said, and the Spirit of God was hovering around the world. And God said, let there be light. That force has been in existence and it will still remain. Even after this heaven and earth passes away. And that is the force we have. The right hand of God. The right hand of God has done valiantly. The right hand of God has rescued his own from the enemies. The right hand of God. Said he has set him on the right hand of God. If Christ has been set on the right hand of God, and we claim we are his body, and we are also raised up with him. That means we are sharing the same throne as Christ is, the same throne Christ is sitting on. We are sharing that same throne. And what does it mean to share? To be a partaker of something. So if we believe that we are truly sharing the same throne as Christ, that means we are partaker of the same authority that God has. So if David can say, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemy your footstool, he's also telling us the same thing. He's also speaking that same word to us. Any word that's been said regarding Christ Jesus, amen? Any word that's been, look, this is it. Let's go to all the scriptures. The Lord will grant us grace. Let's open the scripture. Any word that has been said regarding Christ Jesus, the same word is said towards us, and we need to claim those words. Amen? Everything that has been said regarding Jesus. When you see in Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 and to 27, he said, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, will I give him power over the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Christ, even as I have received this power, I've received this power from my Father, and I've been given the rod of iron to break nations into pieces, the same thing will I give to you, an overcomer. And you have overcomer that has done my will and has kept my work. You also rule with the rod of iron and break into pieces nations as the potter breaketh the vessel. So we don't let us go with the mentality that what you know is Christ Jesus. So you know, as is that's Christ. No, we are together with Christ. At the end of the day, there's a marriage supper of the Lamb, a union where Christ, the head, is joined with his body. If David can be tapping to the graces that is yet to come in Psalm, what are we doing that we can't tap into whatever is to come? Today we can start claiming I'm joined with Christ. I'm married to Christ. The Lord will grant us grace. The Lord will grant us help. We have authority as believers. And our authority comes the day we say, Lord, I submit myself to you. I surrender everything to you. Take hold of me. That day, an authority has been bestowed upon you. The day we came in contact with the cross, that was the day the exchange happened, where God took away every of our weaknesses and gave us authority, and gave us power, and gave us a backing that can never be conquered. And we have to exercise that authority. Having seen this, having understood this, having seen that we are seated at the right hand of God on high with Christ Jesus, knowing this, it is necessary that we exercise the authority that God has given us in every aspect of our walk with God. If we are here and there are weaknesses that we have, weaknesses, those things that kind of weigh us down, that beset us, it is time to exercise our right and authority over those things. They are subject to us. We are not subject to them. They are subject to us. If we are finding it hard, you know, to walk with God, to be consistent, we need to exercise our authority that God has given to us. Let us begin to appreciate the name of the Lord. Let us thank him. He said, according as to his divine power, has he given us all things that pertains unto life and godliness. Authority, power is that thing that is one of those things that pertain to life, and God has given it unto us. We have authority. We are seated at the right hand of God on high. He says, just as Christ was raised up and is set at the right hand of God, we are seated with Christ. On that day, the resurrection of Christ Jesus, the head, and the church, his body, happen naturally. On the day of that resurrection, we are also resurrected with him. And we are set at the right hand of God, the location of the power. That's where the authority is, the right hand of God. The right hand of God, the right hand of God has done valiantly. The right hand of God has rescued us. The right hand of God. Rakadosh.